Good to see you. I appreciate you being here today. Glad to have the visitors with us. I pray the Lord will bless you for being with us in the service. You pray this morning for Brother Parks and Opal Boland, Denver Tester, Bertie K. Wood, Martha Bowery and family, Sandra Honeycutt's parents and Mr. Mrs. Hauser's family, and pray for Carolyn. She's down her back or hip. And then Hubert Levan, we prayed for him, and he doesn't have to have surgery. And there's a board meeting tonight at the children's home, so you remember that. And everybody try to be here. We had a good meeting Thursday night. You ought to have been here. If you missed it, you missed a good one. I mean, it was really on around here. We stayed here like it was nearly 10 o'clock before we got out of here. And it's good. We got a camp meeting coming up, the Lord willing, the 3rd of April. That's just a couple of weeks away. And I want you to try your best to be here. I'd like for Brookside to get revived as well as everybody else in the country. And then nothing happens, and I get able. I'm still pretty hoarse, but if I'm able on Wednesday, I'm going to go down to Alabama to preach a couple of nights. So you be here. I won't be here Thursday night if nothing happens, but Sam will be taking care of it, and I'll be gone. But you pray for me while I'm down there. Pray that the Lord will give us a great meeting. And I had another fellow call me this week down in Florida, won't we? But I don't know what I'm going to do. Sometimes I feel like I might ought to get back out there and just go at it with both barrels. Pray for me that the Lord will let me know what to do. I hate to not be here, but I'd like to do whatever the Lord wants me to do. And you pray for me, okay, that the Lord will give me strength and sense enough to know what to do. The ushers, come on right quickly and we receive the offering and get right on in the service. And I appreciate your giving. I hope that you'll give today as unto the Lord. We got a lot of things to do. And I've talked to Sandy this morning. Things are going good over in Romania. Revivals are still going on down in Bulgaria. God's still moving in a big way down there. So you keep praying for them and praying for the work over there. And Brother Sam, you lead us while we pray.
Our gracious Father, Heavenly Father, we good to bow and call you our Father.
Yeah, Lord, amen. Glory to God.
And eternal everlasting Father.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Thank you. Your Son.
Hallelujah.
Him and all that we need today.
Yeah.
Now in that precious name, Lord
to God.
Yeah. We come to that precious blood,
God.
Our Father. And that is our own bread. And that is praising for all sin. Lord God, if you come together this morning, Lord, we just desire to worship. Lord, we met to worship.
Yes, amen.
Lord, Lord, he's worthy this morning.
Amen.
He's worthy of all our glory.
Amen.
God, and our Father, he's everything.
Glory.
All that we need. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, as you look at us today, Lord God, you're ever present. You do want to do for us. And I pray to touch the pastor this morning.
Yeah.
Lord God, touch his soul. Our Father God, encourage us. God, be able to preach to us. Whatever you want,
yes,
God.
Glory to God.
Glory under the blessed land.
Yeah, Lord God.
Lord, I thank you for your service. Lord, I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad, Jesus. God, let us come. Lord God,
amen.
We might fellowship together. We might love one another.
Amen.
And we might receive one another.
Amen.
Lord God, it is good to come together.
Amen.
Our Father God,
thank
Lord
you.
God, Lord God, there's nothing wrong with nobody in your day. And I pray to touch and bless.
Amen.
Lord God, you know about these requests. What
yes,
prayer,
Jesus.
God, you know about them too. Our Father, you're able to live this morning. You're
yes,
the great physician. Our Father, my praising one year long.
Oh,
this will be the
God.
Day that you'll be saved.
Yes,
I'll pray the glory as fast as possible.
Amen.
By shouting that cold in our heart.
Yes,
Lord God, we'll see the need. Lord God,
amen.
Nobody can come to you unless they be called. And I pray the drawing power
yeah.
of the Holy Spirit will draw to me. Have you
oh,
way,
God.
Father. Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor to pray for us.
Thank you. stand and sing the verse. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you. is my story all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace He lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace He has extended, as on Him my heart's depending, and He'll give new grace I've not needed before. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from His bountiful store. Grace to cross the river, grace to face sufficient from His vast supply. Grace to make my heart more tender, grace to love and pray for sinners, and He'll give new grace when it's my time to go.
He's a good one, too. The thing that makes it so good is your Heavenly Father is the best you'll ever find. No one to beat him. And he does right. And he does good all the time. And he does good when you don't do so hot. He loves you when you don't care nothing about him. He looks after you when you don't know how to look after yourself.
Yes, amen.
Takes care of you when nobody else cares.
Amen.
Supplies every need.
Amen.
He's a good father, isn't he?
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. And this has been on my mind for a week, so I don't even have a message. I just got this on my mind. And I guess the reason I got it on my mind, Paul was in the jail at Philippi. And Philippi was over in Macedonia, and for some reason I've had that on my mind lately. Been bothering me heavy lately. And old Paul was over there in jail. Now, they wrote about it over in the book of Acts. But Paul's writing this one. And Paul's in jail in a town where I'd like to see somebody go. I don't know who owns it now. I don't know if it's in Macedonia now. I don't know where it's at for sure. But wherever it is, I'm glad it was there one day. I'm glad they had a jailhouse there. I'm glad they had a preacher there. I'm glad they had a God there. Just looking after his children, too.
Amen.
And he done great.
Amen.
And they got in jail for praying. I mean, if they hadn't gotten that prayer meeting, they probably stayed out of jail. But prayer meetings will get you messed up. It'll get you either in the lion den, or the den line, or the fire furnace, or get you in jail, and get you thrown away, or thrown out, or get you run off. It'll do something to you.
Amen.
But when you get talking to God, they don't know why like that. The devil's upset about that. He don't care how good you live, just don't talk to the Father. Just don't talk to him. You get to talking to God, that makes the devil nervous. He gets so upset, he don't know what's the way to run. So he'll grab you and run with you if he can. And he'll jump on everybody and try to get everybody turned against you. What they done over there to Paul. I mean, they turned against old Paul because he's down there, and this businesswoman is down there from over in Turkey, really. That's where she is originally from, Thyatira, and she went over there and set up a little business selling purple. She didn't know nothing about God, but she was worshiping God. But when Paul went over and told them about the grace of God, man, that shook her up real good. She had already worshiping God, but when Paul went by and had a prayer meeting, God opened her heart. What a big good if God opened a lot of hearts here today. God opened your heart, you can get in. And if God can open your heart, he can get in. And that's all the way he can get in, when your heart gets open. If God don't open your heart, you'll go to hell. But he can't get in otherwise. He don't hang on the side. He don't hang on the outside. He's on the inside. That's where he lives. Now I want to read verse 12 of chapter 1. But I would, you should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Now I want to talk to you about this. Paul said, the things that's happened to me, I want you to understand, brethren, it's furthered the gospel.
Amen.
I mean, it's spread it out. It's got it over in other countries. It's done other things. Man, listen, every time the devil tries to stop God, it just blows out somewhere else.
I mean, God's so big, ain't nobody can stop him anyhow. So, you try to put a fellow in jail, and he got over to him. He didn't ever got in jail. They would have never had an earthquake, and the jailhouse would have never shut down, and everything wouldn't have got like it was, and the jailer wouldn't have got saved. But boy, I want to tell you right now, they had old Paul in bonds. And I said this the other night, and I will say it again, and I want you to hear it. Now, Paul was in chains. He was in bondage. But he was preaching freedom.
Amen.
I mean, Paul said, you're free, brethren, you're free. Have you a good time, you're free. Enjoy the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
But we're free, and we're preaching bondage in this day.
Amen.
I mean, we're just the opposite from Paul. We're wondering why God don't do like he did in Paul's day. Let God not to preach like he did in Paul's day. It'll get you in jail, but it'll make you free. I mean, Paul said, over the book of Galatians, stand first in the liberty whereby Christ has made you free. He has made you free. God said, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Well, you mean, preacher, that I can just do anything that I want to, he'll change or want to. When you get saved, you don't want to do what you used to do. If you still want to do like you always did, probably so, and never did get saved. Because when I got saved, I quit. I mean, I hear about some of these boys that still playing that junk that they used to play before they got saved, that music. Well, honey, I want to tell you something. I believed in country music. See, I was a country boy, and all I knew was country music, but I gave my country music up. I mean, God put a new song in my heart, even praise unto God. I mean, when you get saved, you change from that junk to the other stuff. And if you ain't never changed, you better find out why the change hadn't come. Now, old Paul wasn't listening to that kind of stuff. He's a religious fella. He's on his way to put Christians in jail. When he got saved, that's what he's doing. He's standing around watching them kill him and enjoying it. The boy, once he got saved, he got in love with the church. And he got in love with the saints. And he got in love with the brethren. He loved everybody he come in contact with. He loved the sinners. He loved the saints. He loved God. He loved the Father. He loved the Son. He loved to talk about the joy of the Lord. He talked about being in bondage, but he said, boys, I mean, listen, old Paul had a bigger time in jail than most folks have in church.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I don't believe in shouting. You ought to go to jail for God. It'll come on you. It'll just come on you. I mean, Paul, this book of Philippians, brother, got a lot of joy in it. And he's in the jail. That's what he's writing is. I mean, he's in stock. But boy, he's having him a good time. He said, I want you, brethren, to know. I want you to know that my stocks have kept God from doing things. I want you to know that if I'd have never got in the bonds and never got the stocks, I'd have never got jailed. So if I had never gotten jailed, there'd never been an earthquake to shake the jail down. They'd have never got the jailer saved, probably. But he said, all this is just part of the gospel. And everywhere now they've heard about me, and I'm still in bonds, but I'm enjoying God. Lord God, listen, if you are in bonds outwardly, enjoy God inwardly. Because he's full of grace and full of goodness and full of joy. And so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all the palaces and in all other places. Can you imagine old Paul going up with them chains around his legs and around his hands, and he's bound up and he's going in the palace? You never got them all. He'd never got in the palace. My God, he didn't go down on the street, buddy. He went to the palace. He was up there talking to kings. He was up there talking to the bigwigs, boy. I mean, the standard on bonds. And he said, boys, I wish you all were just like me, except these bonds. He said, I wish you had on your inside what I've got inside of me. He said, boy, if you had this, you could have your time. He'd tell kings that. I mean, he said, these bonds has got me in the palaces. They're manifested in the palaces and in other places. And he said, these bonds have not only got me in the palace, but he said, it's helped a lot of the brethren.
Amen.
And when the devil binds you up, don't you sit around just because you're bound up and say, well, I feel so bad. You know, I mean, nobody likes me. Well, Don't worry about it. He got a Heavenly Father. They just sing about Him. What are you worrying about everybody liking you? Why don't you quit worrying about who don't, who does, and enjoy God for once? Why don't you quit looking around from side to side and seeing if this one likes me? Do you reckon he likes me or she likes me or they like me? Well, honey, I don't know nothing about them and I don't know nothing about you, but I know one that does. I know one that cared enough to send his son down there to die for me. And sure to God, he loved me. The Bible said God so loved the world. Don't sit around whining about your hard time, man. Here's a fella in jail. Saying, boy, I'm enjoying this because it's part of the gospel. And he said, I want you to know I've been in the palaces and I'm going to some more. But he said, I want you to know many of the brethren in the Lord is waxing confident in my bonds. My bonds is helping my brethren. And he said, I want you to know something else. They are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Boy, he said, this is stirring up people to see me walk around in chains. He said, brother, the other brethren are sort of getting bold. Hey, I want to tell you something, church. If we get in with God like we ought to, it'll help some other folks out there. There's a lot of folks out there that needs to see what the devils are doing and what he's trying to do to us and enjoy God while he's doing it. Hey, nobody wants to see you sad, down out, discouraged, just because you're having it rough. You ain't never had it rough. Paul was without food, shipwrecked, fighting beasts at Ephesus. I mean, worn on the outside, fear on the inside. Man, he had a mess. But he never gave up. He just kept shouting it out. And if I thought it'd do you any good, I'd pray the Lord put you in jail. See if you'd shout. See if you've got the same goods that Paul had. Then folks say, I don't believe in praying the Lord. Paul said, he said, rejoice evermore. Hallelujah. He said, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I mean, he just keeps on talking about shouting in here and praising God. And then somebody said, the Baptists don't do that. They used to. Before they backslid. They used to before they got away from God. And they still do if they're up where they ought to be. Well, I can't hear nothing when somebody's shouting. Maybe that's what you need to hear is a good shout. The Bible said, and many of the brethren in the Lord are actually confident by my bonds are more bold to speak the word of God without fear. My bond is helping things. But he said not only that, but he said then he calls some to preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. But he said one preaches Christ for contention, not sincerely, supposing to add to my affliction, the affliction to my bonds. But the others of love, knowing that I am sent for the defense of the gospel. Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. I then do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. He said, it don't matter to me whether they're preaching against me or for me. As long as Jesus is being preached, he said, I don't care. I'm in bondage. I don't care. I'm just here. I'd go on home if it wasn't for you. But he said, it'd be far better for me to leave out of here and go be with him. But I want to stay for you. Amen. And these bonds ain't bothering me too bad. Amen. Man, he done made up his mind. I'm going with God. You know what I'd like to see, Sam? I'd like to see this church decide we're going to God. Bonds, imprisonment, necessities of life or whatever it costs me, I'm going to God. I get so tired of looking at folks that's just as saved as I am, and yet they want to hang on to this world, and they don't want to put God first. I believe that if you're saved, He ought to be number one in your life. I don't care what else happens. He ought to be number one. The world's going to hell. They need to see somebody that don't care what happens to them. They're still going to serve God. I believe that we ought to get on with it and quit worrying about how we're treated and think about how the world is going to hell. We need to see people dying without Jesus. We need to see people going to hell without God. We need to know that our nation's in bad shape. I was listening to some preacher coming down the road today, and man, he's talking about how bad it is, and it's a lot worse than he could tell or I can tell. But nobody, and even the government's upset about it. How many of the government's more upset about the way, the condition of the world than the church is today? Really is. They're trying to get a committee formed. I won't tell you. They must have got that from the Baptists. Get a committee to see if the committee can commit and know how to do it. Well, honey, you don't know what need a committee. You need God. The church needs to get back to God. We need to get back to preaching the Word of God. We need to get back to praising God. We need to get back to believing God and get off this junk of letting the government do it. Amen. Ain't it pitiful that the government has had to take over where we ought to be and take over the job that we ought to be doing, Amen. Not only in feeding people and taking care of people, but we've turned the religious, the spiritual things over to them and turned the other side over to them and said, just take care of all of it, honey. I'm not interested in the government taking what I'm supposed to be doing. Jesus said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah. Amen. Oh, I'm with you always. And I said on the tape, I heard I must have preached it a long time ago. I don't remember when I preached it. But he said, if you go and preach, I'll go with you. Now, he didn't promise to stay around with you hanging around out here hobnobbing in this world. He said, you get out there and preach, and lo, I'm with you. Amen. Oh, you said the Lord said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. Read it for yourself. Amen. You know what He said? As long as you're doing what I'm telling you to do, I'll be right there with you. Amen. Honey, you quit God, he liable to go on. While you're out trying to look in the window shopping somewhere, God liable to be on down the road talking to some poor sinners that needs to get saved. Why don't we wake up? You think God's going to sit around and wait on you and wait on me, wait on everybody else? Man, He ain't waiting on nobody. And I want to tell you something. If that man that I'm preaching about, the Apostle Paul, was willing to go to jail for God, willing to stay in jail for God, you ought to be willing to give a little time to God. At least you ought to be willing to come to a good church and sit on a good pew and with good air conditioning and all that. That man suffered to get the gospel out. And what are we doing about it? How did this and get a few kind and old? And the rest is saying, well, we're doing good down Brookside. We ain't doing nothing unless you're in it. Hey, if you ain't giving your time and your talents and your prayers and your money to get the gospel out, you ain't doing a whole bunch. Are you listening? And that's what this church ought to be doing. God set it aside by the side of the road here, not to just be something that somebody come by once in a while and get a blessing out of. And I sure appreciate what God done here Thursday night. That is great, wasn't it? I mean, before we even had any singing, I asked that old man to get up here and say something. Man, he got up here hollering, holy, holy, holy. And he just kept on doing it, running up and down the aisle, jumping off of this platform. I thought, man, alive. Man, that fella, I don't know how old he is, but he's probably close to my age. I thought, he'd like to break his leg. I wouldn't tackle that. He's a lot shorter than I am, but I ain't going to tackle that. No, sir, I'm going to go down them steps there. But boy, I got scared. I thought, that fella, man, he's going to kill himself. And he got white as a piece of paper. Man, I mean, he was white. And then Ricky got up and he got to shouting. And boy, I mean, he looked like he's going to pass out. And then the sister, Parker, I can't think of her name right now. Somebody said Carter. No, it wasn't her. Sister Parker got down here, she's white. Everybody come by me, looked like blood is all gone out of their face. Everybody. God is on them. I appreciate that. I'm glad for a good service like that.
Amen.
We can have it every time.
Amen.
But that ain't all I'm interested in. I'm not just interested in shouting. I want us to get on with it. Well, preacher, the Lord ain't never led me to do nothing. Great God, He done commanded you to do something. Why do you sit here and say, well, He ain't led me? He done told you. He don't have to lead you. I mean, wake up, read the book. And there's people all over this country, and this will go on the radio, but I listened to Billy Graham last night, and man, he's preaching to 1 million people. A 1 billion people, wasn't it? 1 billion people. And folks say, well, I don't like what he preached. That's God, he's doing it anyhow. He's telling folks they have to be born again. He's telling people they need to be saved. He's trying to get folks to know that they're lost without God. He said, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I had to get saved. You've got to get saved. Amen. Jesus said, you've got to get born again.
Amen.
Okay, whether you like him or not, he's doing the job.
Amen.
You're sitting around twiddling your thumb and cussing him.
Amen.
I got more respect for a man doing it than I have. I don't care which way he's doing it. I don't care nothing about that just as long as he's doing it.
Amen.
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 And he said something last night. And I'm sure he won't care for me saying it because he'll never hear about it. But he said a little boy come in from school and ask his mother, how'd I get born? She said, stork broke you. And he said, well, how'd you get born in this world? How'd you get here? Stork brought me. Went and asked his granny, how'd you get here? Stork brought me. Now that boy wrote on his paper at school. He said, we hadn't had a natural birth in 3 generations. I thought, God, that's the way it is. Ain't that something? We ain't had a natural birth in most of the churches in 3 generations. We've got somebody else to bring them. God have never birthed them into the family of God. They've never got born again. They're going to hell. And I like that, buddy. I'm glad that he found out and said it to 1 billion people last night that this world is going to hell and there's no natural birth. There's no spiritual birth in the church.
Amen.
What he was trying to say, you got to get born again.
Amen.
Stork brought you, honey, and dropped you off. You're in a mess spiritually.
Amen.
And that's about the way it is.
Amen.
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 Don't cut that radio off and listen to me. I mean, we've got the storks out there running up and down, knocking on every door, saying, would you like to have a little baby in your home? Yeah, okay, just read this right here. And they read it. Okay, you're saved. Yeah, newborn babe. That's a bunch of baloney.
Amen.
And he said last night, and I appreciate him saying this. He said, you can't come to God unless the Holy Ghost brings you.
Amen.
That's pretty good preaching, ain't it? Yes, sir, brother. I mean, he's just saying that you've got to get born again. You've got to get Jesus to come into your heart. The Holy Ghost got to bring you. No man can come to me except my Father. But let me draw him. We're sitting around here worrying about our situation. Paul said, I'm in bonds, but I'm free.
Amen.
I can't go nowhere, but I'm going.
Amen.
And he said, what I'm doing is sitting here in these chains and getting more done.
Amen.
Hey, let me tell you something. Don't let the situation that you're in defeat you. Bless God, sometimes just sitting around with God on you, bound up by the devil, do more if you've got God on you.
Amen.
And God in you.
Amen.
Than it will for you to run up and down the road of preaching.
Amen.
And run all over the country and all over the world.
Amen.
Hey, it's not a matter of what you've got on you, it's what you've got in you.
Amen.
And old Paul had the Lord in him.
Amen.
And you know what old Paul was doing? Man, he's shouting it out.
Amen.
Sitting there in the jail shouting it out.
Amen.
Said, boys, don't worry about it. Said, this business of me being in jail has helped. I mean, I don't care where they put you. Bless God, you can't stop God. What I'm trying to say, Paul said these bonds had furthered the gospel. They run us out of Bulgaria, and isn't that a blessing? Yeah, we left 27 churches over there. Now we're going up to Romania and wherever else God let these other fellas go. And I'm so glad for that. Man, I mean, it's just spreading out. It ain't a going up, it's spreading out. Just because somebody said, we don't want you here, well, that's okay. We'll just go yonder. One crowd will go this way and one this way. Be three times as much as we did have. I've been happy ever since they said we can't stay in Bulgaria. And I've been happy ever since they said we can't get rid of them. The district attorney wrote in the paper over in Bulgaria, said we can't get rid of Ralph and them fellas. And got them all gone, but Ralph, he's still over there. Nathan come back. He's over there with him. And him and Nathan's over there. And Nathan's down there, and Ralph's down there. And they're going to meet today. And I talked to Sandy, and she said, man, that revival's still going. Isn't God good? I mean, what are you sitting here for, she said, when God's a-moving, and God's a-doing business, and God's a-going to open doors other places?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I hope when one of these fellas, whoever it is, goes to Philippi, I don't want them to get in jail, but I do believe the grace of God. Paul said, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I believe that grace will be with whoever goes.
Amen.
I believe the doors is already open. I believe the call is already made.
Amen.
I said this the other day when they was saying, come over in Macedonia and help us. They didn't race that out. They put that in the Bible. And it's just like that voice, just like that over there in Isaiah. Said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who can I send? And who will go for us? Oh, Isaiah just tuned in. And he got on the right station that day. Said, I heard the voice of the Lord. And you know what the Lord is saying? Who can I send? And he said, here am I. Send me. Hey. He said, come over to Macedonia and help us. Okay. That's been 2,000 years ago. But I can hear that voice ringing yet. I can still hear it ringing. And somewhere, some way, somebody is going in that direction. I mean, I don't care what nobody says. You say, well, how do you know? Well, I can't explain how I know. It's hard for me to explain to somebody that never did know how I know anything. And some people that never know anything about God still don't know anything about the leadership of the Spirit of God. You try to talk to them like talking to that wall over there.
Amen.
Well, you say, preacher, but I'm liable to get in trouble if I follow God. No, you're not liable to get in trouble if you don't follow God. Hey, Paul got in jail, but I'd rather be in jail for God than to be loose without him. Lord, honey, listen, it ain't nothing too bad to get in jail. That ain't too awful bad. I mean, if you can get out sometime, if you don't, you're going to heaven anyway. I mean, Paul said, he finally said, I'm not ready to be offered. He got out of jail, but they cut his head off. So, I mean, he'd have been better off just staying in jail and shouting out, looks like. But it was better for him to get his head chopped off because you know where he went? He went to heaven, absent from the body, to be friend of the Lord. He's the one who wrote that. And he said, for me to stay here, it's bad, in a sense, if I live in this flesh, and he wasn't talking about living in sin. He said, if I live in this tabernacle, or this body, this flesh, then I can't be at home with Jesus. But he said, as soon as I get out of here, I'm going to be with him. And of course, he got his head cut off. And I guarantee you, the axe had hardly got through. I mean, the head hadn't dropped off yet till he said, good morning. Maybe he didn't say that. Maybe he just said, hallelujah. What he said. I guarantee you, he was running when he got there. Because he's the one that wrote, I believe he's the one that wrote Hebrews, said, run with patience the race. And I believe when he got there, he's still running.
I don't think he's running when they chopped his head off, but I believe as quick as they turned him loose, right down the street to the holy city, said, "Where's he at?" I mean, I'm looking for the man that died for me. And I imagine some of them old saints up there said, "Hey, did you see that fella go by? That's that fella that put us up here. That's the fella..."